And on the line is Fred Jerome, and in New York City. He's an author, wrote three wonderful books, one about J. Edgar Hoover and his pursuit of Albert Einstein, and most recently the book Albert Einstein on Israel and Zionism. Are you there, Fred?
Yes, I am, Phil. How are you?
Very good, and it's great to talk to you, Fred. We've spoken to you previous, and we insisted that we had to talk to you again because on this matter of the transition, presidential transition, Americans tend to get very worked up, and it's always a crossroads, and it's the most important election in history. And previously, you told us, for example, nice anecdotes that I.F. Stone said that if Dwight Eisenhower were elected president, it'd be a military dictatorship. It didn't turn out that way. So you tend to have a cautionary note when about these things, but we do have something really special. He's called Donald Trump. And so we want you to tell us your thoughts about how you look at it and how you think people out of, in Canada maybe should think about it as well.
Well, it's funny. I call Trump the clown prince. Uh-huh. And I think if we're going through the decline of the Roman Empire here in the United States, that Trump is the Nero of this time. But it's relatively easy to criticize Trump. Not that he doesn't deserve it, but before, let me come back to that. But let me first say something about the similarities between Trump and his policies and the policies of the previous administrations. And as you said earlier, or you indicated, I've said this kind of thing in the past, and we've talked mm-hmm. for several new administrations now in this country. I don't know whether it's three or four mm-hmm. or how far
yes.
back it goes. And people, your listeners who may remember that may wonder, well, why do I keep saying the same thing about these new administrations? And I think the question really should be, why do they keep doing the same thing? Why is each new administration basically following the same strategy, tactics, and bombing the same countries and making the same wars?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the real issue here. And I'm not the only one to say this, but it's not widely known that Trump's definitely picked up this is a quote from Jim Petras, who puts out a very good newsletter on foreign policy, that Trump has definitely picked up the march along his predecessor's trajectory, bombing the same targeted countries while plagiarizing their maniacal speeches at the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really, the question of how much of a difference there is between Trump and Obama and whoever went before him, Clinton and Bush and so on, ask the people of Palestine and Libya and Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and this, maybe especially Yemen, what the differences are. Because the bombs are falling from all of these presidents' bombers mm-hmm. on those people and killing and murdering them and their children. And it's a terrible situation. And it doesn't make a difference, really, which ones of the presidents mm-hmm. you want to single out, because they're all following the same essentially imperialist war policies.
Yeah.
And, well, so we can talk about it. I'd be happy to talk about this. There are differences in their personalities and in their styles and so on, and I will come back to that as far as Trump goes. But I think it's important to understand that this is not a question of electing one president, one person over another, but really a question of what the policies are and what class that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in just not to belabor the point, but Phyllis Dennis, who wrote in the Nation about 2 months ago, criticizing Trump's foreign policy, also said, talking about Obama, that basically he significantly expanded the war and its reach with the use of U.S. special forces and bombing campaigns increasing in Syria, Libya, Yemen, and elsewhere, along with Iraq and Afghanistan. This is a president who won the Nobel Peace Prize, of course. And I think that further, anyway, it's not just in these areas that they're similar, because they're similar in a whole slew of policies, including domestic policies. Mm-hmm. There's another interesting article. I just want to mention this one. I mean, there are many policies you talk about, but Trump has been criticizing journalists, like he doesn't like journalists and he doesn't let them in his news conferences and so on. There's a wonderful piece by James Risen, who's a journalist in the New York Times and really one of the heroes of independent journalism in this country. And he wrote this on the first of January. He said, Trump can target journalists thanks to Obama. And really, the Obama administration prosecuted more whistleblowers and journalists than all the previous administrations in this country combined. And Trump is simply following along in that path. So I just want to make it clear that Trump, while he's a wonderful target and everybody's talking about him and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do about Trump and he's going to drive us all to war and so on, is basically following the same policies as his predecessors. And I think that if you don't understand that, you're going to get involved in a huge election campaign to elect Hillary Clinton as a solution to Trump. And Hillary Clinton, as she said she would do, would be bombing the same that she had promised to bomb Syria when she got elected. And then she didn't get elected, but the bombing continues anyway. But I just think we need to be careful not to get caught up in this, let's elect Hillary to solve all our problems, or another Hillary, or another Obama.
Yes.
And I'll come back to that later, but as long as you ask about Trump, go ahead.
I was going to put in there, in talking to you earlier, you point out Trump is on the one hand, as you point out, he's a kind of clown prince, and he seems to be a stumble bum in some ways, but he also, he's part of a pretty savvy tradition in politics, and he was groomed by a very famous individual, one of the great devils of American history. Can you tell us who broke him in?
Yeah. Well, there is a definite similarity between, or continuum between, Trump and McCarthyism in the 1950s. And Senator McCarthy, in fact, his chief aide, Roy Cohn, was actually a tutor of a young Donald Trump, tutoring him in how to deal with the media and so on and so forth. So there's a direct link. If there weren't a direct link, there would be an ideological link and a political link anyway. But that relationship between Roy Cohn and Trump has been written about, and you can find it on Google and in the press.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question that if you listen to Trump, he still uses some of the same verbal tactics as McCarthy, and probably got those from Roy Cohn.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question that he's a... I mean, I speak of him as the Nero. Seriously, this country and the U.S. empire is in decline. I'm not the first one to say that. Maybe crumbling is a better word, but if that's the case, if you draw a parallel with the Roman Empire, imagine Nero fiddled while Rome burned. I often wondered whether he actually really fiddled, but maybe he didn't, because I don't think the fiddles and violins were invented.
He didn't put out the fire. He did not put out that fire.
He did not put out the fire, but what he did after the fire was put out, maybe 70% of Rome was burned in the fire. He built a palace on the land that was burned. He took it over, bought it, made a profit from it, and
he wanted to make Rome great again.
Yes, right, exactly. So, and as you can see, this businessman, he built his golden palace and its surrounding pleasure gardens on the land. And then he also blamed the Christians for setting the fire. The Christians were just a small sect at the time. And he went out and arrested many Christians for the fire. So Trump may be following. He may well follow that type of tactic.
Yeah.
But it's not new. And Obama, by the way, did the same thing and arrested many people and had them deported. I think he deported more people from this country in terms of immigrants. It deported more people than all previous presidents combined also. Mm-hmm. So Trump, in his attack on immigrants, although he does it with much more, he's much more uncouth, whereas right. Obama was a lot slicker, but he's basically following the same policy.
Yeah. It's, by the way, it is striking, isn't it, that you mentioned Obama won the Nobel Prize basically for getting elected, and when he was running, he told people that we've had too many foreign wars, too much.
Yeah.
No more stupid wars. I think that was his. By the way, sometimes he talks like Trump. No more stupid wars. That isn't the brightest way to comment. But people anticipated he was going to close Guantanamo in the first 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's still open.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left office 8 years later, he said, I still think it's a good idea to close it. Well,
I mean, yeah, I think
what does that tell us about the American presidency? Maybe we have too much of maybe it's all neon lights and there's actually nothing in there.
Well, there's very little in there. I really think it's a question of who pays the bills, and rather than the president, I think the people who maybe put up or lend the billions of dollars to keep this country going, mm-hmm. are not the kind of people who then go and ask the president, what do you think we should do? Rather, they're the kind of people who tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do what they like, their billions of dollars can be cut off.
Yeah.
And it's not new. I mean, you mentioned Einstein, my books about Einstein. Actually, in many ways, what was happening in 1950, during that period, the post-World War II period, when Einstein was outspoken in his criticism of the U.S. government, which is why the FBI had such a big file, 1,800-page file on Einstein, which didn't mention the word
yes,
science.
Yes, that's the title, right, the Einstein file.
Right, exactly.
Which you have read, unlike most American journalists.
Yeah, I was able to get the pretty much the entire file. It took several years.
You had to tear it out of the bony hands of the remains of J. Edgar Hoover.
Exactly. but in among the other things, he criticized NATO, for example, which is still being put forward by Obama and Trump and each of these presidents as the answer to all our problems or many of our problems. Einstein called it a horror. Mm. And I just read you this, if I can, this one quote from Einstein,
please.
Because this is not anything new. But he says, the dear Americans have vigorously assumed the Germans' place. This is he wrote this in 1951, and talking about the Germans in the 1930s under Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the German calamity of years ago repeats itself. And he, just one more piece he wrote to Henry Wallace, in which he said, I consider it most important to oppose the present almost hysterical trends towards complete militarization of this country and open conflict with Russia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how much has changed.
The word is, I guess, prescient.
Right.
No, this the war mania, and he also, of course, spoke up about, you know, you guys got to remember that you have nuclear weapons, and you
right.
should get busy and get rid of them. And of course, he's passed long ago, and there now you can multiply everything he was talking about.
Yeah,
by the hundred.
It's The only point I'm making is I think that there's a systemic problem here, not an individual problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if I quote Einstein, I'd say that he said, "I'm convinced that the only way to eliminate these great evils is through the establishment of a socialist economic system, a socialist economy, accompanied by an educational system which would be oriented towards social goals." Mm-hmm. And goes on. But he clearly called himself a socialist and thought that was the solution. Now, in this country, this is, well, it was anyway until the last election, something that nobody would talk about. Then,
yes.
A little bit more acceptable now, but only a little bit.
Maybe Bernie has opened the door a little bit to remember Einstein.
Right, exactly.
I want to ask you, too, and we've raised this in previous interviews with you, but he identified the racial issue toward black Americans. And he went right to the root. Could you just give us an idea of what he thought about it and what he was trying to warn America about?
Okay, well, and the second book that I wrote with a co-author, Roger Taylor, and it's called Einstein on Race and Racism. Einstein on Race and Racism, and some of that came because Hoover put it in his FBI file also. But Einstein was very critical of the racism in this country towards African Americans and also towards immigrants. I mean, he was very much in favor of bringing more immigrants into the country. And he, in fact, in the book on race and racism, we talk about Einstein's friendships when he lived in Princeton, New Jersey for the last 22 years of his life. Einstein lived in Princeton, New Jersey, and worked with the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton. But he went out of his way to spend time in the black community in Princeton and became good friends with many of the residents of the black community in Princeton, some of whom are still around. They were maybe teenagers then, and they're still friends. In fact, I spoke there on the book just a few days ago in Princeton. But he also was a close friend of W.E.B. Du Bois and another Princetonian named Paul Robeson. He and Paul Robeson were friends for 20 years.
Yes.
And when Paul Robeson was under attack in this country, under the sharpest attack in this country from the McCarthyite government, Einstein invited Robeson to visit him again. They had visited there before, but he invited Robeson to visit him again in 1952. And Robeson spent the whole day at Einstein's house in 1952, and I discussed that in the book. And, and there's a lot more there. But and Einstein was also a good friend of Marian Anderson, the great diva, mm-hmm. who stayed at Einstein's house when she was invited to sing, to give a concert in Princeton, but she couldn't get a room in the only decent hotel in town. And Einstein, when he discovered that, invited her to stay at his house. He did. She went back and stayed there every time she was in Princeton again. She writes about that in her autobiography.
It would make a great diary note. She said, "Well, once again, I can't stay at the hotels in Princeton. I had to stay with Einstein."
Right.
Yeah. Oh, poor you.
Right. There's a wonderful, wonderful note about that in her autobiography. I can't remember the title of the autobiography, but if you get it, look up her writing about Einstein. It's very, very moving about her visit there again. The last time, and it was just a few months before he died, and she describes much better than I can.
Yeah. Well, boy, we're very grateful to hear all this. Fred Jerome, thank you for the great books about Einstein. We look forward to always the comments from you, and we appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for having a discussion of Trump. I think it's rarely, rarely discussed beyond the fact that he's a clown prince or he's a bad guy and not really the sort of the class which he continues to represent. So thank you for that.
All right. Well, we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Fred Jerome. And he does have terrific books.
Fred's books are The Einstein File, and with co-author Roger Taylor, Einstein on Race and Racism, and Einstein on Israel and Zionism.
Yeah. By the way, in the latter book, he's got a great discussion, and it's, well, I shouldn't say discussion, things he was writing at the time when there were Jewish immigrants coming from the East and the problems they were experiencing. And Einstein analyzed the problem and pointed out everybody says chauvinism toward them. They said, oh, look, they're not the right, they're not like the people here. They don't have the same tastes and they don't have Western civilization. These are people, of course, who went on to make immense contributions to history and culture, but they faced bigotry on all sides when they came from East Europe.